this morning. I'm just going to get Dan to come, even just while the musicians are just here. Just Dan, come. I don't need to introduce him again. We've just been so privileged to have him here with us for the weekend. And Dan, just take your time to minister this morning. We got lots of goodies for them for morning tea and a light lunch. So you just take your time and to share. Is that all right? What's on your heart? Thank you, brother. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Father, I'm loved by you. Father, I'm loved by you. Let's just raise our hands together as one family. Just sing this just a little longer, a little more love.
By you.
God wants you to know that you're dearly loved. He loved you so much. For God so loved the world.
Father, I'm loved by you. Yeah. Father, I'm loved by you. Yeah. Father, I'm loved by you. I am loved. Father, I'm loved by you. I am loved. Father, I'm loved by you. And I am loved. Father, I'm loved by you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love, God. It's nice we come together on the Lord's Day this Sunday. A special day for the church. Of course, the church is every day because we are the church. So everywhere we go, we're the church. But this Sunday is very special to the Lord, the Lord's Day. And we come together on a weekly basis and we offer up our praises, our sacrifice of praise, and we give our love to God as one big family. It's a beautiful thing, but isn't it special how He just loves us back in those moments? It's a two-way thing. But we offer up our love, and He gives it right back to us. In fact, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people, or in some translations say is enthroned upon the praises of His people. That's pretty special. I love God. There's the promise Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. So there's something special about that corporate gathering that's really, really powerful. Let's give the band a round of applause. They did a great job again. Our whole team has been really blessed. There's a lot of talented people in this church with the creative dance and the music and lots of different types of instruments, the strings. And so very special, beautiful grand piano, great worship. So praise God. Thank you for using your gifts and your talents for the glory of God and for blessing all of us as well. I want to show a clip because I know there's probably some people here this morning that weren't here last night. I showed a clip, and the reason I want to show you the clip is just to, in some ways, to say thank you for your part. Regional New South Wales, and in particular Narendra and this region, there were Griffith, a lot of Orange, a lot of different places. A lot of people came all the way to Melbourne to be a part of something very special that took place in November. We hired out the Marvel Stadium, and we saw between 20 and 30,000 people praising Jesus. And what I loved, Pastor Trevor, and you talked about this somewhat in terms of the wider body and how important it is. It's great that we have our local church, and of course we have the local church has its own unique vision often, and we're a part of that. We're loyal to that. But we're also connected to the wider body. And we may have differences in secondary doctrines, etc. But at the end of the day, it's the same Jesus. And in heaven, there's not going to be certain sections for the Anglicans and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals are all one big family. Amen? And so I like it when we make those opportunities and create those spaces once in a while to be able to come together and just lift up the name of Jesus. It really sends a message out to the world too that we're not a divided church. We do have denominations and things, but that doesn't mean we're divided in heart. We're one, and we have one Father in heaven, And there's one Jesus, the only way to salvation. There's one Holy Spirit. The Bible's the same. And so it was a really one of my favorite aspects is that unity side of things. It's an ecumenical gathering. We come together. We preach the gospel, the ABCs of the gospel. People get saved, and we plug them into all the different support churches. It's just amazing. It's really cool. So let's throw to that screen now. It's just a really short clip. It just shows you some highlights of what took place. And I just want to thank you guys for supporting that, being a part of it, and praying into it. Feel free to give God some praise. Give him a cheer for what he did there. We're going to be, the next one is in Sydney in 2020, November. We're still negotiating with the stadiums and arenas there, but it'll definitely be sometime in November in Sydney. So New South Wales is next, which is going to be awesome. I really feel that an event is just a rally point. It's not about the event. It's not about the stadium. It's a rally point. It's creating a space for people to come together, preach the gospel. But we had 5,000 people at least commit to go on the outreach. And 5,000 people, and many of them hadn't really done anything like that before, where they've gone out and talked to strangers on the streets. But 5,000 people in a coordinated, simultaneous outreach, we called it Flood Melbourne. People from all over Australia were involved, and quite a lot of international guests as well, but went out. Shared their faith, shared the gospel. Some people were even praying for the sick and seeing miracles and healings out on the streets, and then inviting people to come back to the night rally where we'd preach the gospel. And we found out, and our team found out actually, that with all the decision cards, so after people, like a Billy Graham crusade, they'd come forward, and then we'd have a team grabbing people's details to be able to connect them to local churches. And we found out there was someone, at least one person from every continent in the world that got saved, except the Antarctica, from what I understand. So someone from every continent in the world got saved in an Australian event, because a lot of people were like backpackers and they were maybe tourists, and because they've just confronted with a whole bunch of Christians that were sharing their faith, and maybe through intrigue or whatever it was, or maybe they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit on the street, they came in, and so many people got saved. So that was such a blessing. We believe that who thinks it's a good thing that Scott Morrison got into the government? Maybe, you know, some people may not, but I believe it's a great thing. I think it's the first Pentecostal prime minister, which is amazing. He has Christian values, loves the Bible. He attends a local church in Sydney, I think, or in Sydney. And so I believe and I attribute that, and I think he may even attribute it. He called it a miracle victory, even in his speech. But there was a lot of prayer going up for him. And he actually did a special video clip for us back in November, and we showed that on the big screens. We believe that was strategic. We wanted to kind of help shift the vote back to the conservative vote. And so we believe that what's happening in Australia is a part of your prayers. And many people have committed to pray at 7 o'clock, and it's continuing on. It's not stopping. But we pray at 7 o'clock every evening. Thousands of people around the country from all different denominations are praying together for the nation, for our unsaved family and friends, and really believing that God's going to shake this nation. So we feel it's happening. It's beginning. And it's a real grassroots movement. So I want to encourage you. I want to thank you for being a part of that. And let's keep praying. Let's keep believing that God's going to do something right across in our region, our church, our city, our state, and our nation, and in the nations as well. I want to give away another CD. We've got a bunch of CDs. We've got music. This is the worship set from the Marvel Stadium, actually. And our heart is that when people listen to it, they'll go back into those encounters that they had, and it's more than a CD, it's a resource. In fact, there's another album out there, and Chris and Jess and a number of other intercessors, while we were recording, they were praying for hours and hours and hours, praying while we were recording and saying, God, as people listen, we pray that they'd be set free. It would even be an evangelistic tool, that as they listen, they'd encounter the power of God, and their lives would be transformed, and even people would be healed, and miracles would take place. And I actually had a guy in the UK somehow got a hold of the music. He messaged me and said, he goes, I don't know what's happening, but I've been listening to your music, and I don't believe in God. He said, I'm an atheist, but I just felt to listen to it. And he said, as I was listening to it, I just began to tremble and begin to shake, and I don't understand why that's happening, but I believe it's something to do with God, even though I don't get it in my mind because I'm an atheist, or I'm meant to be an atheist. So he's gone from being an atheist to an agnostic, and now we're beginning to share the gospel with him as well. So I think if you want to grab one of those as a resource, as an evangelistic tool, we've also got some Awakening Australia t-shirts there. One of them says Australia for Jesus. It's a great witnessing tool as well. On one of the sleeves it says God my deliverer. And so often when you wear that just around town, people say, what's that t-shirt? And you can say, oh, I'm glad you asked, actually. You can find out about it. Come and visit church on Sunday. So anyway, I want to get into the Word this morning. Anyone like the Bible in here?
Yeah.
Praise God. That's a good thing when you're in church and you like the Bible. So on Friday night, we covered a few things Friday night. I'm a worship leader. I preach. I lead churches in Melbourne. I'm a part of the crusade events. One of the directors for Australia. I do work in Europe. So I've kind of got a few different things on the go, but I love worship. So we touched on worship, and we all had a dance on Friday night. And I'm passionate about that because the Bible says when we put on the garment of praise, it's combat, it's spiritual warfare against the spirit of heaviness. And so praise and worship is very, very powerful. I say worship is warfare and praise is powerful. It's a really, really powerful thing. So we touched on that, and I think your team and your hearts for worship is amazing. And so I want to encourage you to keep going in that. Be passionate about God in praise and worship. And there's all different types of expressions. We're all different. But I say embrace all of the expressions. And remember, like King stories like King David, when he got around the Ark of the Covenant, and he couldn't help but dance and be expressive to and fall in love with his God because he got around the presence in the Ark. We also talked about igniting the dynamite, and we talked about Acts 1:8, where it says, "You shall receive power." And that word "power" in the original Koine Greek language is dunamis, and it's where we derive our English word dynamite, dynamo. Dynamic words like that, and that describes this power that Jesus was talking about, and it's literally miracle working power. And so we talked about that and the importance of that. And that flowed into my testimony last night, because without the miracle working power, I'd probably be in hell or in prison or messed up, because I was in a really, really bad place. So we need the miracle working power. We need to understand that. And it's faith that ignites the miracle working power. It's the power that accompanies the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And Jesus said to the disciples, wait until you receive this power before you go out into, to be a witness. The prime purpose for that power is to be a witness to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So on Friday, we encouraged people around that subject. Saturday, I shared my story. And today, I want to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, and that is the church. I fell in love with the church when I got born again. I had mindsets about the church before I got born again, but when I fell in love with Jesus, I fell in love with the church. And I'm glad that I was quick to understand that the church is not God. The church is not perfect. The church is the body of Jesus, and Jesus is the head. But while we're on this earth, the church is not going to be perfect because humans are involved in it. Us good old humans sometimes make mistakes. So I learned not to put my full trust in the church, but rather my trust in God, but my heart was to serve the church and to help the church in its journey and to serve the church. So that's why it really blessed my heart to see 30 years of serving and people that have been plugged in and planted in the local church. That really blesses my heart. And I'm a church planner, so our history is only, 6 years. And I think, we celebrate that. But to see 50 years and then to see people that have been plugged in and planted and serving for 30 years, it's just, I'm dreaming about those days. I'm looking forward to those days. I just want to say, well done, guys. It's amazing. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Some of you might understand why Chris just did a random, what maybe seemed like a random cheer there. Back at our home church, every time someone, like a speaker, reads out a scripture, we cheer. Sometimes we cheer during praise and worship, but we like to honor the word as well, and we cheer when the word is being preached. So feel free to join in the cheering when we get into the word of God this morning. Who was here last night? Just a quick show of hands for who was here. Great. So I did touch on church. I talked about the church, my history with the local church as a kid between the ages of 3 and 9. I talked about how mum and dad got hurt in the church and left the church. I didn't really get a chance to tell you what happened to mum and dad after that, but it's a good, good ending and a good story. So mum and dad were hurt. They left the church. Their initial intention was to find another church. Some bad things happened. But the years went by, and then they begin to backslide. 10 years went by, they begin to backslide, and hell really hit our family. And I learned through that process, God turned it around and used it for good, because we know the Bible says all things work together for those in Christ Jesus. I learned how a family can flourish when they're planted in church, but I also saw what happened when we left the church, when we got unplugged from the church and ripped out, in a sense, where hell really came against our family. And then I saw what took place when Jesus healed me. I talked about that last night when I had that encounter with Jesus in a local church. And as a result of that miracle, it inspired all of our family to get plugged in and planted back into local church. Again, I want to tell you that it's many years later, 16 years later, that we're all now serving in local church together in some sort of leadership, and grandkids now, and so all the generations coming together, aunties and uncles are starting to really get lit up with the Holy Spirit and passion and that first love fire for God again. And it's because of the local church. Obviously, it's because of God first, but it's also because of the local church. Church is God's idea. It's not our idea. It's not a man-made thing that we just made up and just thought, well, we better form some sort of religion to kind of help God a little bit. It's actually his idea. And so that's why I wanted to take you, first of all, to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I want to unpack this somewhat. It says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I love studying the scriptures, and if you dive a little bit deeper into that statement from Jesus, into this teaching, he's teaching Peter something here that's very important. If you dive a little bit deeper into the original language, you'll see that Jesus is actually doing something interesting here. It's a play on words. And so Peter, his name is literally translated Petros. The original word, or the Koine Greek word, is Petros. I'm not a Greek scholar, so hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I think it's Petros. And so he's saying Petros, which is literally, his name's literally translated small piece of rock or small rock. He's saying Petros, upon this rock, and that word rock in the original language, the Greek language, is Petra. Similar word, but it's literally translated big rock. So he's saying Petros, Peter, little rock, upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. So we know Jesus is God. How many people believe that? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and verse 14 in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There are many scriptures that show that Jesus is absolutely God. It's a founding doctrine in our Christian faith that separates us from the Mormons, from the Jehovah Witnesses, etc. Jesus is God. And here we see Jesus as God saying, I will build my church. So the church is not ours, it's God's. And he's the one that builds it through us. But it's his idea. He's the author of it. And we find out how much Jesus loves the church when we read the scriptures. But Jesus brings definition to the church through his word. But this is a really important revelation here that he's teaching Peter. He's saying, Peter, you're a small rock. Hey, don't get me wrong. He's a founding stone in the sense because he was one of the 12. But he's a small rock in comparison to the chief cornerstone, Jesus himself. So Peter was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The church should be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that means if you're built on Jesus, you're built on the Word of God. If you're with me this morning on that, give me an amen. I'd love some encouragement if you think it's the truth. So he's saying, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And then he goes on to say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It doesn't say that the gates of hell won't try to come against it. I love Ian Miller too. He's a great friend. He's been a great friend. I met him around 5 years ago. And I love that prophetic picture about the fire of God that gets rid of all the stuff that the enemy tries to sow in our community, in our lives, in our family. And the Bible says, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Word of God, through the gospel. And he does it through you and I, because we are the church. When you say to the person next to you, did you know you are the church? I'm going to talk about this a little further. I love the four walls. I love the building and the amazing resources that you guys have got here and the facilities. It's amazing. My prayer is that you guys would just take over the whole town. Turn it, get everyone born again and be a city of God. That'd be amazing. But the structures and the walls, although we come here and we appreciate it, we can be here and we don't have to worry about the elements and we can study the word together. But at the end of the day, it's not about the building or where you meet necessarily. It's about the people. It's about us. It's about fellowship around the world, the word, and fellowship around the Spirit of God with one another. So we're the church. Peter was the founding stone. Jesus, the chief cornerstone. It's his church. He's going to build it. And Peter got a hold of this revelation, and we see it. He understood what Jesus was saying. He understood the play on words in this moment. He knew exactly what Jesus was saying. And then later on, Peter begins to teach us, begins to teach the people about their importance in the church as well. So I want to take you now to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It's good. I'll say that again. Maybe some of you can join in if you love the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Yeah, I like it. That's good. Is that my water, by the way? Great. If you've got it, say I. It's on the screen if you don't. Is it on the screen? Yes. All right. I'm reading from the King James today, and it says, you like the King Jimmy? To whom coming, as unto a living stone, so here we see, this is describing Jesus as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now this is the part I want you to get, verse 5. And you also, everyone say you also. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The church is built on him, built on the rock. Petra, Peter, Petros, the small rock, is built on the large rock. And now Peter's teaching us, you also are living stones or lively stones. And we're built up as a spiritual house. Some translations say a habitation of God and a holy priesthood to offer up what we've been doing this morning, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now, we're not supposed to be a rabble, like just stones just all over the place. The Bible says that we're supposed to be fitly framed together. We all have a place, we all have a part to play in your local church, but also the wider church and our huge family that we have right across the world. We're fitly framed together. We're a holy priesthood. Why don't you say to the person next to you, it's better together. God loves unity. He knows how important it is that we would be fitly framed together. He loves loyalty. He loves it when we get plugged in, when we get planted, when we serve in the local church. I'm so grateful for the local church. It's so important to God. You know, one of the first things that Jesus did when he ascended on high, this is how much God loves the church, and he loves you and I. One of the first things that he did, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about it, said, he that first descended in the lower parts of the earth, then ascended on high, and then he gave gifts unto men. So when after he completed his mission, went to the cross, rose again on the third day. Of course, we know that famous story about the cross and what took place. But after that, he left the earth, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said, but don't worry, I'll go to the Father, but I give you a comforter. He described out the Holy Spirit. But as he ascended, in Ephesians chapter 4, it said he gave gifts unto men. He goes on to talk about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Why? For the equipping of the church, for the equipping of the saints. He loved us so much. He understood the importance of leadership and structure so that the church can grow in maturity and the church can learn how to minister and learn about their gifts and learn about their part and to protect the church and to help the church grow. That's how important it was to God. The very first thing that he did when he ascended on high was give gifts unto men and give gifts for the church. That's pretty cool, isn't it? God loves the church. And if God loves the church, then we should love the church too. Amen? And in fact, the Bible also describes the church as being like the bride, an analogy of the bride. And I know I'm married. I love my wife. And I don't like it when people talk bad about my wife. I'm sure some of you guys feel the same way. In fact, I have to make sure I would be demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit if someone, I'd really have to seek God for grace if someone talks bad about my wife. Make sure the old man doesn't rise up, because I love my wife, and I think about that. If that's how much I care about my wife, I don't want people speaking bad about my wife. How much more should we be careful when we're talking about the church? The church is not perfect, but the church is loved by God, and I want to speak well of the church. I want to love the church. So you guys with me on that? I want to now take you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. We'll try that one more time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. So my first point this morning is we should love the church, and church is God's idea. Second point, don't forsake it. You heard about my story, our family. We did fall into the trap of forsaking the church, maybe because our faith was, maybe we were on the rock, but we were maybe leaning on people, and when people let us down, we fell off, and we left the church. But was devastating for over a decade for our family as a result of that. But now we're back in. But I understand this scripture through that experience, and I want you to get a hold of this as well and remind each other of the importance of this. Many of you already know this, but we remind each other. And we teach our children, we teach the next generation of the importance. You know, 30-year membership, 40-year membership, 50-year membership, it's like we're members of one another. We're members of the church. We love the church. We honor the church. We hold fast. So Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." What happens is you get born again, and there was, I think, at least 7 people that come up the front to receive Jesus, got born again last night, which is amazing. By the way, let's give Jesus some praise for that, for what took place last night. And actually, there were some others that put their hand up too that maybe were just not quite ready to come up the front publicly like that, but there were quite a few other hands that went up as well, which was amazing. But what can happen is if we don't get plugged in and planted and discipled in local church, there can be the danger that our profession of faith would waver. And we start to waver. We start to look left and right. And the enemy brings temptation and tribulation and trials and tests. And there's the danger that the seed that was planted in our heart would fall on stony ground or would fall on thorny ground. But we want to make sure that that seed is on good ground. And it's important that you're plugged in to a local church to keep your heart right so that that seed would continue to remain in good ground. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." This is what happens in local church. This is why church is so important. I feel there's a mandate on my life somewhat to stir things up a little bit. And like the King James uses this language, to provoke. I feel like sometimes my mission is to come in and just be like a fan, to help fan things into flame, to stoke the fire a little bit in hearts. And I need it in my life. I've got people that do that in my life as well that help me just to make sure that we keep things right, integral, remain in that place of intimacy with God, with right motives, with right intention. But we need one another to help one another, to remind one another of what it's all about. Amen? While we're on this earth, it's the good fight of faith. And it is a fight. It's not always easy, but we need each other. And in the local church setting, we consider one another and we provoke, or in a good way, we stir one another up unto love and to good works. I love good works. We're not saved by works. The Bible says that. We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on to say, but we are his workmanship, and we're created. There are preordained works that God, like a destiny or a plan, there's something that God has for you. Preordained works for you to do. And here, when we get involved in church, we stir one another unto love and to good works, because we want the community to know about this love that we've found. We want the city, we want the nation to know about this very love. Amen? And this is the main point I want to get to with this "do not forsake" church. Verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." And they were having some trouble, it seems, here in this particular church, where some scholars say this was the author was Paul, and so the author of this is speaking to the church, and he's saying here, "Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So in other words, if that was important then even more now, as the day is approaching where Jesus is coming back, we're absolutely in the last of the last days. And if it was important then, here it says, even more so, it's important now that we wouldn't forsake the assembly of the brethren, the fellowship, the church. It's very, very important. Amen? Are you with me on that? Final point. This is probably my favorite. And I've seen the fruit of this, and I've seen that this is absolutely true. I know it's true because the Bible says it, but even experientially in my own life, this is absolutely the truth. A final point, Psalms 92:13. That's good. We'll give it one more. Psalms 92:13. We love the Bible. Psalms 92:13. It's the truth. This is a great promise. And I want you to get a hold of this. God loves you. This is why this teaching is so important, because He loves you and He wants you to flourish. He wants your family to flourish. He wants your community to flourish. You guys want that, and He wants it even more for you. And so here is a precious piece of truth and a promise for you. Psalms 92:13 says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish." Everyone say flourish. I'll read that one more time. "Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." I want to leave you with something, just a couple of practical tips, because this is such a big subject in some ways. But I want to leave you with three real basic things to help you remember. This has helped me along the way. It helps our family, and it helps our local church. We teach on this in our local locations in Melbourne as well. But I want to give you an ABC to finish. Okay, an ABC. What does it look like to be planted in the house of God? Because we want to flourish, but what does being planted mean? And so I want to give you three things. A, for me, equals abide. So if anyone's making notes, you can just write down A equals abide. So it's the first thing. Like we come to church, and many of you right now are fulfilling A. It's a great start. Maybe there's visitors. Maybe there's people here. Maybe you've only been to church a few times. And so this is the start of that planting process. But God wants you not just to be superficially planted, but He wants the roots to go deep. But A is a great start. We come in, we abide, we join in the meetings, we listen to the preaching, we get involved in the worship. But that's the first stage where we begin to attend the services. A is abide. The next one, where we go a little bit deeper, the roots go a little bit deeper in the planting process, is B. And B stands for belong. Now, it's one thing to abide, but it's another thing to belong. And that means forming relationships. So you have a relationship with God, but you also then form relationships with one another. You allow yourself to be taught by someone. Maybe you're a part of a small group, and you plug into the Bible study group during the week. And you want to be mentored, and you want to be taught, and you're fellowshipping with one another, and you're getting past just attending on a Sunday, but you're then beginning to form relationships and community. That's a really important part of church, the ecclesia. So B stands for belong. And finally, C, this is a really important one. This is commit and contribute. It's such a blessing to not only abide and belong, but then come and bring your talents to the local church, and bring your service under God. Because it's not under people. We're not doing it for people necessarily, although we are blessing people. But first and foremost, we're doing it for God. And that's a part of being planted in the local church. And I know that I've seen it over the last 16 years that when people abide, it's great. And when they attend, it's great. We celebrate that. We love that. When they go to that next step and they begin to belong and form relationships, it's even better. But when you see people serving in the church, committed, you know it's a great sign that they love the church, just like God loves the church. And often, they're the families that you'll see flourishing as the people that are really committed and they're contributing because they love the local church. Does that sound all right? So just to recap, anyone remember the first point? Church is God's, ABC. But what about before that, the first point of the message? Whose idea is the church? God's idea. Who's the author of the church? Who builds the church? Jesus, yeah. And who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus, you got that, yeah? And we're living stones. Interesting that Jesus had that play on words, and Peter fully understood what he was saying, and then he began to teach the church later on himself in describing us as being living stones. Number two, why are we not to forsake the assembly? Why did the author teach the church in the book of Hebrews not to forsake the assembly of the brethren? Anyone remember that? Well, one of the reasons is so we don't fall away. Absolutely. And we provoke one another. We stir each other up unto love and unto good works. We need each other. And the in context, the previous verses to don't forsake the assembly of the brethren, the previous verses were talking about us, our profession of faith, and not wavering. So we don't waver in our profession of faith. That's why we need each other to stay on track. Amen? Because the gates of hell, they won't prevail, but they'll try to prevail against us. We are in the good fight of faith. And then finally, probably my favorite part, because I know how much God loves us, and I know how much He wants you to flourish, but why is it also important to be planted in the house of God? Because you will flourish. Amen? Praise God. I want to ask everyone to stand to their feet. And I want to pray and just pray a very special blessing over you, over this church. I know there's some people from other local churches and other groups in here, and it's amazing. I thank you, God, for this weekend. I thank you, Lord, we've seen healing. We've seen people saved. Lord, it's been a time of honoring the past. It's been a time of celebrating the future. And the different generations coming together, different churches from around the region, even out from Canberra and different places to come together to celebrate what you've done in this 50 years, because you love the church. And I just think it's very fitting to finish on a message about the church, because it's so important to God. And so I pray that, Lord, that this wouldn't just be words, it wouldn't just be another message, but it would really go even deeper in our hearts. That we would really, really want our roots to go deep and to be planted and to see generations affected. And we'd look back in 50 years and see the people around our lives that have been impacted by our decisions that we've made today and maybe even over this weekend. Maybe some of you guys have laid down even more. Remember Paul said, I take up my cross daily. It's like a daily thing where we choose to lay down our will, our desires, and to pick up the will of God, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so, Lord, I just pray that even supernaturally we'd get a hold of this revelation, that we would really love the church, love one another, understand that church is God's idea. It's so important to Him, so important to Him. And it really is a light, like a city on a hill. It's a light to the community around us, and we are that light, this great light that we have. That's inside of us. So I pray, Lord, that we would even come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'd be the church out in the community. We honor the Lord's Day. This is a very important part of church where we come together on the Sunday on a weekly basis, just like they did in the book of Acts. They got together on the Lord's Day. But I pray, Lord, that it would also transcend, just like the book of Acts, on a daily basis, that we'd remember that we're the church wherever we go. We fellowship with one another. We reach out to the community on a daily basis. You are on the forefront of our mind. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be led by the fear of man, but we'd be led by your Spirit, and that you'd lead us and guide us and give us opportunities to plant seeds here and there in the hearts of people in the community so that they too would experience this great, great love and great salvation that we've experienced, and that the family and the church would expand and grow even more in this town, in this region, in this state and beyond. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Well,